effective.
That's the only issue, John. The offensive line's an issue too. I'm talking about specifically those two. Is there a percentage that they could be operating better if those two were more on the same page? Welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Xander Kraus. That's my co-host, Johnny Mack, John McMullen, here for another day, recapping the Eagles' their loss on Sunday and their upcoming game on Thursday.
Johnny not Mack, used to that. Not used to that.
I'm completely not used to saying a loss. How you doing this morning, Jay Mack, a Tuesday morning?
Doing well, since you know, maybe we have to have an hours-long meeting to discuss how to handle a loss over a win. What a bunch of drama queens. My God. Everybody loses in the NFL. Don't make it more than it is, and they're making it more than it is. That's my quick take on the meeting.
Yeah, I kind of agree, to be honest with you. But before we get real quick, I just want to tell everybody. So there was a report yesterday, late yesterday, I think it was like 7 or 8 p.m. in the middle of that Phillies game, and Jimmy Kemsky put up that A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley got together for a lengthy meeting and had some, what did he call it, productive conversations together.
Positive conversations.
Okay. So that's what they had.
It's good that AJ and Jalen are talking. That's good.
Yeah.
That's positive. I mean, come on, guys. You lost the game. My God, what happens if they lose to the New York Giants, which probably isn't going to happen, but could you imagine? What are we gonna rip down the whole organization and rebuild it? You lost the game. You had a bad plan. You lost the game, and you still should have won it, probably. Boy, what an overreaction. I mean, if you keep acting like this, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy of going off the rails. You know, should have been business as usual. Say, get fix it. And I don't want to blame the coaching staff for 44 freaking dropbacks versus 9 run plays in a game that you were leading for the vast majority of the game. So, you know, I was talking about run-pass ratio. Tell me what the score is in the game, and I'll tell you run-pass ratio. Well, that works 99% of the time. You saw the time it didn't work this week, because they were trying to acquiesce, whether it was, you know, and people get bogged down in the semantics. Because I said outside voices, oh, it's inside voices. I don't give a shit. Don't get bogged down in bullshit. The point is they tried to acquiesce somebody.
Right. I agree with that. What do you make of this meeting, though? I mean, because I will say the offense hasn't been good this year. You know, I put out yesterday, I think we've overreacted to we had one loss. I don't know how to act. Nobody knows how to act in this city when we lose anymore, which is pretty hilarious. But, you know, I don't think there's
a big that's why I got massive depression with the Phillies. Hopefully Jeff Kerr is here.
Yeah, we'll see if Jeff shows up after the Phillies lose. But I don't know, John. I mean, we got the Vikings, the Giants coming up. I mean, we got an easy chance to right the ship here, get the 7-1, go into the bye week. Now, from that perspective, I think we've overreacted. But from the player meeting perspective, they have been a really, really bad offense this year. Let's be real. I mean, I think they're bottom five in like most big categories.
Oh yeah, they stink.
So if they stink, I mean, is that good that you have three big offensive players like
no,
that?
Because I think it shows a prima donna attitude, because it's the superstars again putting themselves apart. And the real superstar in this team, and I think it's evident, is the offensive line. And until the offensive line gets healthy and gets cooking, and then everybody's like, oh, Jalen's making plays, AJ's making plays, Saquon's like, it's those guys. It's Lane, it's Jordan, it's Land, and it's Cam, Tyler as well this year. That to me, this start has shown, because they've been banged up and they haven't played as well as the standard we're used to. And that to me is the biggest part of it. And they're not even involved in the meeting, because they don't have the big egos, and they're not, it's just.
But is it the stars getting together, or is it the leader? You know, the guys with C's on their chest, all three of those guys wear a captain badge, you know?
Well, so does Jordan. So does, you know, so does Jake Elliott. Are you bringing him in? So is Reed Blankenship. So is Reed Blankenship. You bringing him in?
All right. So was it about the offense or was it about the relationship between?
It's obviously about the offense, and it's about acquiescing and getting everybody. About
the relationship? There's been a lot made of that relationship, John. AJ, well, Jalen. I mean, you've heard it all for months.
I don't care as much about the relationship and the gossip. But again, to me, you know, work relationship, fine. That's okay. I don't have a need for them to be going to dinner and meeting outside the building. I thought that was one of the silliest questions. You know, go home to your family, go home to your kids. I have no problem with that after spending 12, 14 hours at the NovaCare complex. I want to go out with, and some people do, younger people, you know, they want to go out, but whatever. I think that's just different stages of life. I don't care about that stuff. What I care about is, you know, and again, that was the report. It's Jalen Hurts. It's Saquon Barkley. It's AJ Brown. All right, why not bring in Jordan Mailata if you use the captain route? Why not bring him in? The real captain of the whole team might be Lane Johnson. Why not bring him in?
Well, that's why I think it was more about the relationship, because if it's more about the offense, you're bringing those guys. And at least in my opinion, if you have an issue between star one and Jalen and star two and AJ and their relationship has.
I think that's the way it's projected. Is,
I mean, has that been, here's my problem. Cause I agree with you. I don't really give a shit about their personal relationship, nor am I going to comment on it. Cause I have no idea what they think of one another. All I know is that they were buddy buddy in the past. I don't know if they still are. It doesn't seem like they still are. I think it's affected the field now, John. I think it's starting to affect.
I guess I look at it. So I think a lot of people are taking it as Saquon brokered
the mediator, the detente,
like it's, you know, a Russia Khrushchev. You know, I can't take it seriously. You know, Saquon coming off his Raising Cane's commercial or his Beats commercial to come in and play Dr. Phil to two guys who once had a close relationship and maybe don't. I mean, really, is that what we're talking about? Just, you know, block. You know, Nick says it all the time. All his bullshit block destruction, you know, get out, just go out there and play like you're capable of playing. And then everything is fixed. Everything is copacetic. Now, in the instance with the deep shot that everybody can't stop talking about, you know, if you're not on the same page, for whatever reason, whatever your favorite category is, you know, be nice if you could talk on the field, the fix communication issues. So maybe that's something. But again, that's got to be the head coach. Not, you know, Saquon's got to worry about his own production in getting back to his level. And I think it all relates to the offensive line, because that's the true strength of the team. But everybody's obsessed with the playmakers because those are the big stars. But to me, the offensive line is what hummed last year and the reason why they were so great. And it's not this year for a host of reasons, mainly injury related, to be honest. But I think that, and don't make it, but my main takeaway is don't make it bigger than it is. And you're making it bigger than it is.
Well, right, we're not. I'm not. I don't think we're making.
No, I'm saying they are. They are. I'm not saying you.
This is where I disagree with you. Don't you think it's a good thing to get? I mean, if you do have an issue, all right, whether it be personal or it be the bottom five offense in football right now, don't you believe that coming together as leaders of the team to get on the same page, if they haven't been able to do that prior, is at the very least a productive or positive development in trying to get to the standard that they've set?
Sure, it's a positive, you know, that's how Jimmy phrased it, so I'll use that word. It was a positive meeting. It's better than a negative meeting, I guess. So from that standpoint, but, you know, my overriding thought is you're making too much of one loss. And by the way, you had a chance to win the game with a Hail Mary. It's like... You're making it out to be more than it is. You've been playing on the edge, and the edge bit you. All right, stop playing on the edge as much. Start being a little bit more. And again, ultimately, I blame that loss. And I don't often blame losses on coaching staffs because, you know, I'm a big talent first guy. So I'm always going to look at the players, whether they're successful or fail. I'm always going to look at them first because they're the guys on the field performing. And they're much, 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 much more important. But again, when you have that kind of disparity in a game where you shouldn't have that kind of disparity from the circumstance of the game, it's not a shootout. It's not 38 to 35 where you can't just sit and run. You're not down two touchdowns. You're up two touchdowns. And, you know, when it first came out, Saquon Barkley, they didn't practice, but it's an estimation. So he was on the practice report as a DNP, which is, right, again, an estimation with a knee injury. And I'm thinking, wow, well, because, you know, I thought he got hurt in Tampa, if you remember that play.
Yeah.
He was in a lot. He got
a little banged up on that one play on Sunday, too.
I didn't see as much on Sunday, but
there was one play where he got up, and then I think he missed the series. Well,
I think it was related to that injury in Tampa.
Yeah,
it
might
still
have been.
Which I still think was a little bit more serious than they let on. But, you know, I inquired about it, and they said general soreness. He's on track to play, so, you know, we'll see. But obviously a short – and you're going to manage guys through a short week in general. And you don't practice anyway. They're having a walkthrough today and a walkthrough Wednesday. So they have no real practices during these Thursday weeks. These Thursday weeks are insane with the NFL, but that's a different discussion.
They really are. I don't even know why the NFL does it. I don't even think they're that great from a
money.
But
Amazon's willing to pay that money, so they're gonna carve out a day for them. That's it. That's the only reason. Nobody likes them. You know, with Jason Kelce liked him, he said, but Jason liked him later in his career because he didn't want to practice. He was like, yeah, just give me the game. You know, he didn't need it, but a lot of younger players actually need to practice, as Vic Fangio will let you know every week, basically. And we'll probably again today because he's going to talk today, but.
Yeah, they're on an expeditious week this week with the Thursday game. They got to move everything along. John, yeah. I don't know, though. I mean, I agree with you from we're overreacting to the loss, but I'm less inclined to believe that this meeting was about the loss itself and more about the relationship of two players who, you know, have a large part in the direction of this team and where we go and what they're capable of achieving.
Well, then go see Dr. Phil. Don't have Saquon brokering it.
Yeah, but that's not a realistic solution to if there is a problem. I agree with you. The problem shouldn't be there. But if the problem is there, what's the solution? Because going to Dr. Phil is not realistic. And I know you're saying that.
No. I should know. People will probably take me seriously.
Yeah, right.
But, I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't think it's – I'm glad they had a positive meeting. I
probably shouldn't say this, but that sounded like a text right from Bobby Lang.
No, I don't think it's from Bob. But
it's from somebody.
Well, yeah, it's from somebody in the building, but it's not from the PR people. But you know, I don't want to source speculate for somebody. Jimmy can do that. Jimmy can let people know if he wants to, but. And I'm sure whoever said it doesn't want him to. So that's the way it works. But, I don't think it matters that much is my take. I'm glad it was positive. I'm glad they're trying to repair their relationship, I guess. But, again, I'd much rather get the offensive line healthy blocking people. And then I think everything is fine. But yeah, I mean, I even in the midst of it, I think it's kind of funny that even the biggest stars on the team, because they are the skill position players, don't realize the issue, which is the offensive line.
I agree with that from a football perspective, but again, I think this is a little bigger than football. I mean, and you're right. I mean, it's funny. You're right. Yeah, go to Dr. Phil. But again, they got to fix the issue. They got two grown men who aren't seeing eye to eye. I think it's pretty obvious, John. I mean, it's not just Philly talking about this. It's the whole NFL world is just like, yeah, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts are.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Not on the same page. It almost looks like they just don't like one another. They don't care for one another. And Saquon, I think, came in and said, all right, guys, enough of this shit. Come on. You're two grown men. We're trying to accomplish a goal. Let's get together and talk it out and figure out how to be productive again on the football field. Is it not that? You don't think it's that?
Yeah, it might be. But, I mean, I guess I don't think, you know, I don't think Saquon should be the one in the position to do that. But if it works, fine. But, like, you know, but is he involved in the relationship? No. You know, so ultimately, if they have that big of an issue,
if their relationship is hurting the team, then that becomes Saquon's responsibility, as it with the C on his chest. No.
Well, it becomes Jordan's responsibility. It becomes Jake's responsibility. There's a bunch of people with C on their chest, as I pointed out. But mainly, it's Nick Sirianni's responsibility. Not mainly, it's Nick Sirianni's responsibility. Now, you can say, well, maybe a player's voice will carry more than a coach who's essentially your boss. So you can play it that way. I think if they continue to act like this, this is how I take it. They're making a bigger deal out of it than they need to make out of it. And if they keep doing this bullshit because of one loss, which could have easily went the other way, like I talked about, all the wins could have easily went the other way. Well, this could have easily went the other way, and you could be 5-0, and then there's no meeting. So I think they're overreacting to a loss, admittedly, a lot of self-inflicted wounds in that loss. And then if you do this too often, I think it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I'm sitting here after this kind of silliness, I'm sitting here saying, boy, and I can't even picture an avenue because the New York Giants are that bad, but it is an NFL team. If they lose to the New York Giants, it is a short week. You are on the road. I mean, you only got to go up the turnpike, but if they lose to the New York Giants, what the hell is going to happen then?
I don't know, John. I don't think this is as much about the one loss. I really don't. I mean, I think that was the catalyst for it, and you're probably right. If they win the game, they don't have this meeting, but I think there's a macro thing at play here where the relationship between those two has gotten to a point where it's now noticeable in the locker room. It's noticeable to the spectating audience and Saquon, whatever you could say, it should be Jake Elliott, but let's be real. It would never be Jake Elliott. Saquon took the initiative and said, let's handle this like men. I don't know. Maybe again, I might be way wrong, but that's just how I saw it. When I thought of it, I really didn't think it was as much about,
Well, again,
you want to talk about the overreaction of the loss. I agree 100%. I think even me included, it's like, all right, guys, welcome. Everybody loses games.
I just asked, you know, AJ in the past is that who was also a captain, and Jalen's a captain. AJ in the past has talked about you have to have difficult conversations. I asked Devontae on Friday of last week before the game about those difficult conversations that just happened to come up. And he said, yeah, they go on the entire time. So what's different? What's different other than the announcement? It's not really an announcement, but it's an announcement through a third, you know, party that, you know, it strikes me as very performative. And again, maybe that's the problem. Stop worrying about being performative. It strikes me as very performative is the word I'll use.
I understand that perspective, but I do think, do you believe that their relationship has begun to affect the team from a football perspective?
No, I don't think it has. I think the offensive line attrition has been the issue offensively. I think it's impacted.
I'm not saying it's the only issue, John. The offensive line's an issue too. I'm talking about specifically those two. Is there a percentage that they could be operating better if those two were more on the same page?
Well, I guess it would. If you're asking, would it be better if they're best friends? Yeah.
No, but they're not. Asking that I'm asking if.
Well, I meant from their previous relationship. Would that be better? Yes, but it's not, and it's not going to be. So. You know, you're either a professional, and I think they're both professionals, or you're not. And I know some people have speculated, and I know a lot of people field watch. Oh, they're not talking. They're not talking. Like, look, if they're not talking, if they're not communicating, hey, that's childish, number one.
Well, I think that I agree, and I think that might be what Saquon's addressing. Then
I would say that's where the head coach has got to come in and say, put his foot down. Like, I don't give a shit if you guys are getting along this and that and this and that, but on the field, in this building, you have to communicate in a football sense. And that to me is not something fixable by, you know, anybody other than the head coach and the coaching staff. But if it was a positive meeting, like I said, I guess it's better than having a negative meeting. But I don't think this is any cure-all is what I would say.
I don't think it's a cure-all. But yesterday, John, you said Jalen is aloof. You know, isn't this – a good thing for somebody described as aloof? It's like, okay, if he is, and again, everybody's got their own personality. It's largely worked for Jalen Hurts. I'm not here to come out really criticizing him about it. But if it's rubbed AJ the wrong way, if it's been a reason that
I don't think it's rubbed AJ the wrong way. Like when I say that, I'm not talking about the AJ Browns of the world. I'm not talking about the Saquon Barkley's of the world. I'm talking about lower level players. I'm not talking about those guys. At all. So I don't think affects them one iota. You know, I brought it up and I knew and that's my own fault. I got a lot of shit for that, and that's fine. I brought up that comparison because Carson was here. And a lot of people, for a different reason, a lot of people on the team felt he was not very inclusive with everyone.
Right.
Kept to himself. But his was based more on religion. So everybody, I shouldn't even have mentioned religion. His was based, and a lot of people are just like, all right, you know, he's not comfortable. He's not going to go out to dinner with the guy. He's going to go home. He's going to be with his family, blah, blah, that kind of. So. He wasn't considered part of the group. With Jalen, it's different, but you get that similar vibe. And it's interesting because when Carson left and Jalen took over, you heard all those stories where they could sign a fringe guy and Jalen was texting him and welcoming him to the team. And you don't hear that anymore. With the exception of, you know, some offensive players, but we're talking defensive player. High level offensive players, but we're talking, you know, when Jalen first took over, it could be a safety, the 53rd guy on the roster. He's welcoming them to the team. That to me has shifted a little bit, at least to me, not to me, the perception with the lower level people is that has shifted. And that is no longer the case. That's what I was talking about. And again, it's my own fault, just like AJ with social media. People run with the football any way they want to run with the football. You can either listen to the context or don't listen to the context. Ultimately, I don't give a shit because people are going to do what they want to do. That's what I was talking about. That is not in play when you're talking about AJ Brown and Saquon Barkley, who are arguably bigger superstars. Now, Jalen is a bigger one because he's playing quarterback, but, you know, it doesn't impact them one iota.
All right, well, Jimmy Kemsky put out, it was a couple hours long, I think he put out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let me read up Jimmy, what Jimmy put. I don't know. I mean, I hear you, but I do believe that chemistry is a part of team sports, you know, and if they're not having, if they don't have chemistry, that's impacting the team. And I viewed this as a attempt to get the better chemistry. Is that not a fair way to look at it? I mean,
look, I said, I'm just not putting a lot on it. I mean, it's better, you know, as it was described.
You don't think it's going to help one way or another? You don't
I don't think it's going to hurt. I don't think it's going to help is where I am. Again, is a positive meeting more a better thing than a negative meeting? Sure, obviously. So from that standpoint, but I don't think this is going to fix any issues. I don't think it's going to harm anything either. I performative. I think it's performative. It's what I think. If they're focused on grinding to fix this disgusting looking offense, they don't need to have a meeting. That's all they do is have meetings, which is even amplified this week. Because of the
saying it's not really the meat and potatoes. It's not really fixing the real issue.
Exactly.
Which is consistent with J-Mac thinking, which I appreciate.
Well, it's very performative. Like all they do is meet all day. You meet, you have a position meeting, you have an offensive meeting, you have a team meeting all day.
You've been in that building a lot. Do you notice Jalen Hurts?
Not recently, since they banned us. But
notice AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts communicating a lot, not a lot at all? Do you see them together at all? What do you see?
We're not in the building anymore. We used to be in the building. We're now, there's a media house on the fringes, the last possible. The closest thing to the gate of the NovaCare complex is the media house. They try to keep us away from the players as much as possible. Inside, you know, you get to see practice, obviously, during training camp, which is interesting because, you know, Jalen is the godfather of AJ's daughter. So in training camp, you know, he's always over there playing with AJ's kids and because it's a little bit more relaxed in training camp. So, you know, I don't think it was the point where I've seen some people say they don't talk whatsoever. I don't know where that came from. It certainly wasn't the case in July and August when we do get to see it. But I've explained this for a long time now. And again, people can listen to it. They cannot listen to it. Diana put it out there, Diana Rossini. So it becomes a little bit more real. To me, it's always been AJ's gotten married. He's got young kids. He's, you know, he's not a big party guy. He's not going out. So not that Jalen is, but you know, he's spending most of his time with his family, that growing up, that maturing. You know, he's got stuff to do at home. Jalen got married as well. So he's got, you know, they don't have time in real life to be best friends and hang out playing video games, which is not their personalities anyway. So I never thought it was that big of a deal. The only thing is a deal in which I can't see, because you don't get to see practice much. And the part we do, the quarterbacks are working out with the quarterbacks and receivers are working out with the receivers, the individual stuff.
Right.
And again, as some people spend their whole time looking at these two, and I'm trying to watch the game when the game's going on. So I think they're not as close as they once were because of life, basically. But if there is a problem at the workplace and they're not communicating at the workplace, that's a problem. And I don't know if that's the case. I find it very
hard. You don't have any evidence to prove that one way or the other.
Okay. No. And that, again, that is Nick Sirianni, where you just got to – that's a Nick Sirianni issue. That ain't a Saquon Barkley issue.
Let's get into some super chats, see what the people have to say here this morning. I want to thank everybody for being here. Hit that like button for us this morning. All right, a big two-hour or multiple-hour meeting yesterday, everybody. John calls it performative. I understand what he's saying. Let's hope it's productive. Jimmy put out, and I quote, "I'm told Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Saquon Barkley had a long, positive conversation today. Lasted a couple hours. Make of that what you will." Alexander Harris checks in. "What's up, brother? Maybe the meeting was more about Jalen and Brown's relationship and Barkley played the mediator." Yeah, we talked about that. He sent this early in the conversation.
All right. Well, you know, maybe Saquon can get another endorsement. All right. He's mediating.
Some sort of relationship app or something.
Yeah, sure.
Brian Garner says, "Fellas, just catching up. The penalties at key moments in the game was what bothered me." Yeah, I rewatched the game yesterday, man. They were just bad spots. If they lose two in a row, then I will worry. Well, I do think, too, also, John, like we talked a lot about the one rush in the second half. They only had six drives, offensive drives, in the second half. Three of them were a three and out. One was the one before where I think they had five total plays. The first one was the Saquon Barkley touchdown, and the last one was the desperation attempt. So, and on three of the four drives in the middle, they took penalties that wiped away a running play that they had to Saquon, which set him behind the sticks. And I do think there's some circumstance there to talk about with the lack of runs.
Yeah.
Not a complete bailout, but it's at least context.
Well, they started, I mean, you mentioned, if you look at, they started white, you know, they came out of halftime. Pass to Goddard, pass to Devontae, incomplete to Goddard, big gain to Devontae, another pass to Goddard for 6 yards, then the touchdown. So 4 for 4, pass, 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 but it was successful, so nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Denver had a somewhat decent-sized drive, but had the punt. And then so the Eagles come out and they could really win the game at that point. They really could. And pass. Short left to A.J. Brown. Pass. Dallas Goedert. Scramble, which you're dropping back to pass. Incomplete pass. Incomplete pass. Those are your first two drives. That's not circumstance. You know, and again, the first one is very successful.
Right.
So nobody's going to complain. But, and, you know, if you say, well, Saquon wasn't healthy, well, two things, because now he's got general soreness. Maybe that factors into it, but he's out there. So, you know, you can only judge people who are out there. And it also says if he is banged up and you're trying to protect him. Well, they have no confidence in A.J. Dillon or Will Shipley, either one of them. And maybe they shouldn't, but that's not a good thing. If you think about Kenny Gainwell, they would have used Kenny Gainwell. So then if you go to the third drive, which again, the Broncos went three and out after that crappy Eagles drive, and Braden Mann had a 68-yard punt. And the Broncos went three and out, so they have another chance. And then the penalties start, A.J. false start. So that sets you back, incomplete pass, sack. That's the whole third quarter offensively. Not one designed run play.
You can't talk your way out of that one, John. That's not good. There's no doubt. Alexander checks in again. "What's up, brother? We are all assuming when it comes to what they talked about, unless we were actually there. Who really knows? But I think it's a positive." I think that's fair.
Well, yeah, I have no information on that meeting. It was described as positive. So I said, hey, it's better than negative. I'm just saying they meet all freaking day. You know, that's why I say it's performative.
JD3 says, I've used the word aloof 100 times since yesterday.
Brian, I'm glad I could. I do take pride in my vocabulary.
You have a great vocabulary. Brian Garner says, listen, I don't care about the relationship. Do your job. Sometimes relationships get oversaturated, but you didn't see someone a lot. Now you see them every day. I'm not going to speculate. Just play better. I think that's fair. That's kind of what John's saying. I think a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, play
better. That's good. There you go, Brian. Good stuff. Blaze says, I feel like Carson only liked Fletcher Cox because they love Jesus and both love to hunt. LOL. Yeah, they did both love to hunt.
Well, in all seriousness, there was the religious group and the group that wasn't religious. And that's why I brought up, not that anything wrong with it. I mean, I actually admire people who, you know, have that sort of, you know, something in their life which they can lean on in difficult times, but you know, others are uncomfortable with it.
Right. And they're playing a team game. You have to manage that.
Yeah. It's not good or bad, but you know,
I'm just speculating here, but the way you worded it yesterday with Jalen, is it just because he's so almost emotionally mature? Like he doesn't get bogged down by shit. He just seems to be so focused all the time versus AJ's a little bit more emotional or a little bit more, you know, reactive to some things as evidenced by his post game tweets and things of that nature. Jalen's so much more calm and stoic. And I truly believe he's just kind of trying to win. You know, I don't know. I believe he is who he says he is. And I think that might be hard for some players when you have a 53-man roster who you say all the time, getting them all on the same page isn't all that easy.
Well, yeah, everybody's not the same.
Some dudes are just there, you know, because they have to be. Some dudes are there so they don't get fined. Not everybody's there to be a champion. Jalen is there, at least in my opinion, to be a champion. Are they not on his level? Is that fair to say or no?
Well, some certainly, you know. I do think he's very mature for his age. You know, Jeffrey Lurie said that for a long time. He's very mature for his age, and that sets him apart. You know, he is a little bit different behind the scenes than he is in front of us, which is a little bit, I don't want to say manufactured, but a little bit, I would say, turned on versus when he's turned off. Like he'll, you know, Darian Kennard used to talk about when he was here, you know, Jalen would go beat the shit out of him in ping pong and talk crap. You know, he's not the robot behind the scenes that he is in front of the scenes. So I guess performative is the word of the day. You know, there is a little bit of a performative aspect to his presence, his presentation in front of the cameras.
Right.
So, I mean, and that's the way he wants it. And that's carefully cultivated. It's very intentional. I always use that word with Jalen Hurts. Everything's very intentional. He wants to be portrayed that way. But, you know, as the leader of a football team, and that's what the quarterback is, especially a good quarterback, you got to be very inclusive. And you got to include the emotional people. And you got to include the religious people and the non-religious people. Right. And you got to include the immature people and the partiers and whatever, where you have to at least try. And I think that was the mentality early in his tenure. And part of it is, you know, maybe all this boils down to not handling success well.
It's a fair perspective.
Because, you know, and Nick talks about that all the time. That's why he talks to so many coaches who've had sustained success and players who've had older players who've had sustained success. You know, how do you handle that? Because it's not easy to handle adversity, but you expect to handle adversity. That's what you expect. Well, I have to handle adversity. Handling success is a lot more difficult because people don't think it's a problem. Often it is a problem. Eagles went through this in 2018 as well. So you know, this group is far more talented and far more equipped to do it on the field. But all this stuff strikes me, off the field stuff, strikes me as not handling the success part of it as well as they potentially could.
That's fair. It's a fair way to look at it. Blaze, thanks for the chat, brother. Appreciate it. Simo checks in. What's up, Simo? This has been an unresolved issue since BG said something. I'm glad this is happening. This will translate to on-the-field play as far as communication. I don't know if that's a guarantee, but I do think the BG comment is obviously a little bit, you know, does make more sense now looking back on it. I know everybody in the moment.
Let the cat out of the bag. Yeah, and the point is, these issues were going on last year, and they won, so nobody cared.
To your point about the meeting of it's all bullshit, it's not really
formative is the word I use.
Yeah. Somebody said in the chat, we got to come up with a JMAC word of the day. Yesterday was aloof. Today is performative. Mike Kravick says, do you guys see a trade happening for edge rusher? I'm going to say no, but John, your thought.
Maybe. I mean, November 4th is the trade deadline. So you got, positive first step for Azeez Ojulari. You know, if Nolan Smith is back after the bye week, I think, well, you got to make a decision. Obviously, that's more of a medical decision. And I think if Azeez starts to play well, I think Za'Darius Smith and Josh Uche played well this season. I do not think Jalix Hunt has played well. And unfortunately for the Eagles, because Za'Darius is 33 and Josh is pretty much a situational player, Jalix is getting all these snaps. And really, you want that to turn into Nolan Smith when he comes back. So Nolan's health is a big key to this. And if they feel that he's not going to be back or he's not going to be able to help them the way he needs to help them, then they might have to make a move. The problem is, but they should know the bye week is right around the trade deadline. And They come back November 10th, which is after the trade deadline at Green Bay. They should know by that point what to expect from Nolan Smith, if he's ready to go, if he's not ready to go. If he's not ready to go, I think they'll make a big push to add something. If he is and they're comfortable with it, That kind of depends on how well Azeez and Josh hold up from now until then. And it's a good chance it'll be pretty good because you got Giants, and then Minnesota, which will be – Minnesota is a tough game because it's out there, and they could have a good defense. They should have some of their injured players back, but I don't know what's going on with Van Ginkle. If Cashman and Van Ginkle are back, they have a good defense. But they're hurt right now. And the quarterback situation is just a disaster with J.J. McCarthy. Carson Wentz has been okay, but they want to go back to McCarthy. So,
I think Kevin O'Connell's put too much stock in him to bail on him, dude. I do. I think
that's part of the problem.
He's put himself between a rock and a hard place.
He really has. And that should help the Eagles. So, I mean, you got three games where it should be pretty easy defensively for Vic Fangio. Vic doesn't want to hear that, but that's the reality of the situation. Then you got the big test, Green Bay, at Green Bay, Detroit here. Boy, Detroit looks like the best team in the NFC to me early in the season. Again, and I've shifted from Green Bay to Detroit.
Detroit looks good again. I'm worried about their defense again. I mean, their defense is going to – I think it got another injury recently. Lions. I don't know. I mean, I think they're a good team. Yeah, Terrion Arnold got injured, although
he's not playing well.
He's not playing very well.
You know, Hutchinson's back. They're getting the Lynn McNeil back. That to me is the key.
They're not
great, but if they have those two guys,
they can make some hay.
Yeah.
Good stuff there. Mike, appreciate it. Prince says, I call bullshit J-Mac, but okay, we get it. All right, Prince. Simo says, J-Mac biggest op is optimism.
I didn't get either of those. My biggest
op is like a
opponent. Well, football wise, it's opportunity. You know, you always hear coaches talk about ops constantly. They mean opportunity for the players. They don't mean opponent. But again, I never know where a fan's going with it.
Here's Abe says Jalen props speaking in quotes during the meeting.
He might be.
Yeah.
I
can see how that part of it would be a little bit frustrating.
I never thought he was like that behind the scenes. He doesn't act that way behind the scenes. That's in front of the camera, Jalen.
Alexander says aloof, stoic. There you go. Roll Philly says, nah, Jalen cool. He just doesn't like John. I don't think that's true at all.
I don't think that's true at all. Yeah. People are wild, man. They just go up. Yeah.
Well, let's see.
Here's the thing. I don't think Jalen gives a shit about John. I don't think he dislikes me. I don't think he likes me.
Yeah, right.
I think we have a good professional relationship, but I don't think he gives a shit about John. I'm not going to sit here and says he likes me, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't dislike me because. You show no evidence of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Real quick, we'll move on a little bit, John. I do have some other questions today, but I'm happy we talked a little bit about that meeting. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about it at this point. Did you catch the game last night, John? That was a good football game.
Yeah, after I watched the Phillies implode.
Yeah, me too.
I, you know, Jacksonville's an interesting team because they're doing pretty well. Trevor Lawrence is, boy, man, he can – some of his throws are like, wow. And you start to remember.
Like some plays you're like, what the fuck are you
doing? I know.
And then some plays you're like, whoa, that ball was thrown perfectly.
Yeah. That's my thing with Trevor Lawrence. It's like he just doesn't have a feel. But, man, he makes throws that few people can make.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, they're going in a positive direction. Good for them. Yeah, it was entertaining. Chiefs better offensively than they have been. You know, big pick six, Patrick Mahomes. Another NFL game coming down. Last team has the ball, they win.
Yep.
You know, all these teams move the ball so easily. And the Eagles, everything's a chore.
I'll tell you what, there was two things, though, I thought the Chiefs did that ruined their chances at winning the game. Why do they not fair catch the kickoff? You have 23 seconds, timeouts. Yeah. You need 30 yards if you fair catch the kickoff to get.
Well, you have to return, or you know the fair catch. You're at the 20, so you have to.
Is it 20 at the fair catch?
Yeah, you can't. If it's in the landing zone, you have to return it. That's what they're trying.
So, what do you value more, basically? Potentially 10 yards or 8 seconds on the clock? I don't know. I might value.
The thing is, if you have to return it, and teams do that on purpose. Or they should, you know, one of the biggest problems when the Chiefs scored, they kicked it out of bounds. I believe that really killed them.
Yeah. They started at 40,
but when they do it right, when you execute, I remember there was a game earlier week one. Oh, it was the Monday night game. The Bears didn't have any timeouts and they tried to kick it out of the end zone. And they said, no, take it out. Because he wanted to waste the time, and they did the right thing. In that instance, what you have to return the kick, but you got to go immediate. No cut, no nothing.
Right.
Just go straight ahead and take as little a time as you possibly can. But
yeah, and then the block in the back. I mean, that was just
yeah. And then that's
once I saw that, I'm like, yeah, you just made it really hard on Mahomes to be able to do that.